1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 13, and today we are finishing up our series on Samuel. We have been in this reading about his story for a couple of months now, and so today we're going to finish up this series on Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to begin in verse 1, and if you have your Bibles there at home, I'm going to ask you to read out loud with me today. Let's begin. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one for whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then sent out and went to Ramah. Thank you so much. You know, we have all had what I'm going to call today just-in-time moments. Like when an unexpected check shows up in your mailbox. Or as you turn into the doctor's office parking lot looking for a space, someone in the front row begins to back out. And you think, boy, I made it just in time. You know, action heroes are just in time creations. As a boy, I remember watching Popeye, and he always found the can of spinach just in time. I remember that Superman always spotted a phone booth just in time. That Mighty Mouse always got to the train track to unloose the beautiful little mouse just in time. Do you remember what Mighty Mouse would say? "Here I come to save the day." And you remember the Lone Ranger would say, "Hi-o, Silver, away." And then Superman, it was up, up, and away. And you knew that that just-in-time moment was coming. They were going to make it just in time. Today's text involves a just-in-time moment. Saul has quickly revealed his personal flaws. Fearing that he would lose his army, he offered the sacrifices that only Samuel was ordained to do. Then his insecurity and fear of the people caused him to save King Agag and the choicest of the livestock of the Amalekites. And Samuel has pronounced God's judgment on Saul. Saul, the kingdom has been taken from you. God has found a man after his own heart, and rather than your kingdom being established, the kingdom is going to be given to him and to his descendants forever. But now we're at the crux. We're almost at that just-in-time moment, and that it is this. How is God going to do this? Where is this king going to be found? Who is he? And these are the questions that are relevant and are prevalent in just-in-time moments. Today I want to talk to you about fresh encounters, because fresh encounters happen in that vacuum of a just-in-time moment. There's never any time to prepare for that just-in-time moment, that fresh encounter. They don't have a countdown. We watched yesterday afternoon the countdown as SpaceX began to launch from Cape Canaveral. And just so you'll know, Noel Hardcastle was there in person to watch that. So we look forward to hearing Noel tell us about it. But just-in-time moments don't have a countdown. They're suddenly thrust upon you, and a choice has to be made. The wedding at the Cana of Galilee. What a terrible way to start your wedding off, running out of wine. Can you imagine what the groom is going to hear from his bride that night on their wedding night when she tells him, "You embarrassed me in front of the whole community"? But Jesus shows up just in time. Just as the wine is giving out, Jesus shows up with his disciples and turns the water into wine. The woman with the issue of blood, who has been battling this hemorrhaging for years. Jairus comes to Jesus and presents a request, "Come to my house, my daughter is dying." And Jesus makes a turn. He goes off the path he was on, and he makes a turn going to Jairus' house just in the moment that the woman with the issue of blood is there. It was a just-in-time moment for her to have a fresh encounter. There's a funeral procession leaving the little village of Nain. It's a widow woman who is walking behind the bier that is carrying her only child, her son, who is a young teenage boy, has died. And just as they are coming out of the city gates heading to the cemetery, at that moment, Jesus is coming in to the city gates, and he stops the funeral procession, and he walks over to where that dead boy is laying, and he says to him, "Arise." At just that moment, Samuel is sent to David at a just-in-time moment. You see, shepherds, when they would take the sheep out, they couldn't just take them to one area of pasture. They had to run a circuit, and sometimes they would end up being days away from home because they're having to keep the sheep moving so they don't totally destroy one pasture land. But just in time, Samuel shows up at the home of Jesse when David is just a short period of time away. It was a just-in-time moment for Samuel. Like just-in-time moments, fresh encounters are unpredictable. Fresh encounters happen in ways that we can't predict, in ways that we can't forecast, in ways that we can't say, "Oh, I know what's going to happen. I've been down this road before." No, you haven't. We have not been down a fresh encounter, a just-in-time road before. 1 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1 and 2, we find that there was one thing that distinguished Saul. It says, "There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Bechorath, son of Aphia, a Benjamite, a man of wealth. He had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he." And now listen to this part. "He stood head and shoulders above everyone else." He stood head and shoulders above everyone else. And this feature so distinguished him that Samuel, when he brings Saul before the people to coronate him as king in chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, verse 24, Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people." And so Samuel goes on this journey to find the next king. And Samuel is assuming that this next king is going to be like the former king, that God has found a pattern, and I've figured God out, and I know what the pattern is going to be. The big man, the distinguished man, the linebacker, the guy that is more robust and stronger and more handsome than anyone else. That's the man, because that's what God did the first time, and so God's going to do this the second time. And Samuel was in for a surprise. We read it in 1 Samuel 16, verse 6 and 7, said, "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab." That was the eldest son. And he was handsome. He had all the features that Samuel was looking for. In fact, even his name was a godly name. The name Eliab means God is a father. And Samuel thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, because this is a fresh encounter, this encounter is not like the encounter months ago or years ago. This is a fresh encounter. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God says to Samuel, "Samuel, this is a fresh encounter. This is not like anything you've encountered before. This is a fresh encounter. I'm doing something new, Samuel. Don't judge what I'm going to do now by what I did before." You know, Peter and his fellow fishermen had to learn the same lesson in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. It says, speaking of Jesus, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, 'Put the boat out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' And Simon answered him, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything.'" In other words, Simon Peter is saying to Jesus, "This is not the way you fish. We know how to fish. We fished all night long. This is not how you fish." But Jesus is trying to open Peter's eyes to a fresh encounter. He's trying to show Peter that I don't have to do what you think I have to do. I can do something new and living and vibrant and fresh. And Peter says to him, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." You know, fresh encounters are not only unpredictable, but fresh encounters change your life. David's life is turned upside down by this encounter. Verse 13 of our text, "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." David's life was changed from that fresh encounter. David had no preconceived ideas that he would one day be the king. There was nothing that David woke up that morning and said, "You know, I think I'm going to be anointed the king today." This was a fresh encounter. It was a just-in-time moment for David, and his life was changed from that moment on. Peter's life was changed. After they bring up the nets, Luke chapter 5, verse 8 says, "When Peter Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.'" And when they come to shore, Peter leaves the boat, the nets, the fish. He leaves it all to begin to follow Jesus. His life was changed radically because of what happened to him in that fresh encounter moment that came about in a just-in-time atmosphere. Today is Pentecost Sunday, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. This is the day we celebrate which the church has a fresh encounter moment at Pentecost. It also happened in a just-in-time vacuum. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, Jesus has been crucified, been buried, he's risen from the dead, he is now nearing the end of a 40-day time that he has spent with the disciples, says, then they gathered, the disciples gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This has been their heart cry for 3 years. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? When are you going to throw the Romans out? When are we going to come into positions of power? When are you going to sit on the throne and bring our nation back to the way it used to be, the way our forefathers remembered it? They were trying to have a fresh encounter based upon something that had happened hundreds of years ago. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their eyes. As they're watching Jesus, as he tells them in Acts 1:8 that the Holy Spirit is coming, you're going to have a fresh encounter. Right now, you're in a just-in-time vacuum because you think it's going to be the way it's always been. And I'm going to leave, and I'm going to create a just-in-time vacuum. And in that just-in-time vacuum, you're going to experience a fresh encounter. The Holy Spirit's going to be poured out for you. They had no time to prepare for it. There was no ascension committee formed to tell them, oh, okay, well, now this has happened before, we know what to do. There was no precedent that they could go back on and look at and say, oh, okay, well, this is what we need to do. And their fresh encounter was also unpredictable. I wonder if you were to have polled the 120 gathered in the upper room on day one, because they were there for a period of 10 days. On day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven, day eight, day nine. And each day you would have asked the 120 the same question. What do you think is going to happen when the Holy Spirit is poured out? I think you probably would have heard responses such as, I don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. I'm assuming it's going to be like Jesus. Jesus was with us in a bodily form, so I think the Holy Spirit is going to come in some kind of bodily form, and he's going to walk with us and continue the ministry of Jesus. Well, were they in for a fresh encounter, weren't they? And it was very unpredictable. Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I doubt a single one of the 120 anticipated what was going to happen in Acts chapter 2. They could not define a fresh encounter because they did not know what a fresh encounter would look like. If you can define a fresh encounter, it has lost the whole meaning of fresh. It's just a repeat and a rehash and a reserving. Their fresh encounter also changed their lives. Peter, the denier, walks out of that room, preaches his first sermon, and at the end of that sermon, 3,000 men begin to cry out, "What must we do to be saved?" In the very next chapter, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are walking to the temple at the time of prayer, 3:00 in the afternoon. There is a man who's been lame from birth, who's there begging. Peter does not walk up to him and say, well, hey, it looks like I've got a nickel, you can have it. Peter does not walk up to him and say, hey, do you know that there's this group meeting over here? There is We Are Crippled Anonymous meeting over here. You might want to talk to them. No, Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but I have had a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit, and I'm willing to share that with you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. It changed his life. Then we see Saul being converted, and Paul, his name later changed to Paul, and he has a fresh encounter on the road to Damascus that turns his life upside down, totally unpredictable. He's blinded by a light and hears a voice from heaven saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? His life was changed. The church was changed. The church began to spread. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, based upon that fresh encounter, they did exactly what Jesus said they would do in Acts chapter 1. They went in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. For the past 11 weeks, we have watched a virus change the world. For the past 4 to 5 nights, we have watched an incident of prejudice and hate and anger and malice and murder rip open our nation. Is it possible that on this Pentecost Sunday, that God did not bring these events on us, but God is seeking to use these events to put His church once again in a just-in-time environment where we can once again have a fresh encounter? You know, Samuel could have missed his moment. Samuel protested and said, God, if I go to the house of Jesse to anoint a new king, and Saul hears about it, he's going to take my life. There were countless reasons that Samuel could have said, I don't want to do this. But he was in a just-in-time moment, and it led to a fresh encounter that would not only change a little shepherd, young teenager out tending sheep, but it would change the destiny of a nation. You and I can have a fresh encounter of the Holy Spirit. You and I can have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a fresh rekindling of the passion and zeal of God that once marked the church, that really once marked the United Methodist Church. We can have a fresh encounter. We don't have to wait till we gather in a building to have a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. I believe that we are in a just-in-time vacuum right now. And God is saying, in this vacuum that you're in, and this vacuum you have been in for going into 3 months now, are you ready for a fresh encounter? Are you going to be discontent with church the way it's always been? Are you going to be discontent with just checking off on a Sunday from 11 to 12, I've done my church duty? Are you going to be discontent with a powerless prayer life? Or are you going to say, God, I need a fresh encounter with you again. Change my life. Change my heart. Change my marriage. Change my family. Change my environment. Change where I work. Change me, oh God. Pour your Spirit out upon me. Maybe what we should be talking about is not the fear of a second wave of a virus. Maybe what we should be talking about is, it possible that maybe we're getting ready to experience a second wave of Pentecost? Let's join together in prayer. Father God, we recognize how desperately we need you. It has been played out on the television. It has been played out in marriages. It's been played out in families. It's been played out in broken relationships. It's been played out in anger and malice and jealousy and covetousness. It's been played out, God, in hatred and anger and blasphemy. And Father, we sit and we watch and we say, what are we going to do? How do we respond? We have the same questions that Samuel had when you said, Samuel, this is a just-in-time moment. It's time for a fresh encounter. And I pray, Lord, don't let us miss this opportunity. I believe, Lord, the window of opportunity is closing. And if we keep missing opportunities and missing opportunities and missing opportunities, we will soon harden our hearts to the place that we don't even look for another opportunity. And we are close to that right now. Have mercy on us, God. Pour your Spirit out on us. set our hearts afire. Wake us up in the middle of the night, and rather than us laying there saying, I can't understand why I'm waking up, may we roll out of bed and get on our knees and say, oh God, send the fire. Send the fire into my life. Send the fire into my children. Send the fire into my workplace. Send the fire into my community. Send the fire into my neighbor. Send the fire into this nation. Lord, make us sensitive to those times in which you say, it's time. It's time. It's time. Oh God, my heart is heavy today for this nation and for your church and for my own life. Lord, we are in that just-in-time moment that has created the vacuum for a fresh encounter. Lord, I submit to you. I acknowledge today that I, in my own life, need a fresh encounter. So burn in my heart. Burn in my life. Don't let me stand behind a pulpit and tell people they need something that I am not willing to say. God, if you're going to pour out on your spirit on anybody, start with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to ask